them. Glory to God.
The meeting's a privilege, I can tell you that. Like I say, you never know around here if you're going to be called on. So, you know, last night Sammy had said something to me. I said, well, I think he's going to pick me or you. So I guess he was reading into the night. So, you know. But anyway, I just praise him for that. And Sammy said, were you ready? And I said, well, no, but the Spirit is. You know, and that's what we have to lean heavily upon. And that's what it's all about. The whole meeting is about the Spirit and being directed by that Spirit.
Amen.
Because each and every one of us have things that come against us. But we have got to stand on what the Word is saying.
Right.
And the only way you're going to know what the Word is saying is you've got to dig into it. It's not going to be this man here. It's going to be you, every one of you, individually, that's going to have to see yourself through every situation. And the Lord's been dealing with me about the influences of the enemy. You know, he is defeated. I want to make sure we get that. He is defeated, but yet his influences are against us each and every day. And I want to read a couple of scriptures, and we'll go from there. Turn to John. Yeah, St. John chapter 10. To me, this verse right here sums up the promises in God. He tells us here, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy.
10:10.
Did I not say it?
No.
Okay, sorry. 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have that they might have it more abundantly. That's what this meeting to me is about. This is what every meeting is about to me. That life more abundantly.
Yes.
Being pulled out of each and every one of us more and more by our coming together, by us fellowshipping, by us hearing the Word.
Amen.
Whoever the speaker is. You know, we always say here, don't look at the speaker, look at the Christ.
Yes.
And that's when I come to the meeting the first night, when I come, I looked around and I said, God, what a mighty bunch of people for Christ. You know, I wasn't looking at the individuals. I was looking at the Spirit that each and every one of us carry with us day in and day out.
Amen.
That is what gets me through the Monday coming up. That's what gets me through every day of the week, is that Spirit that I lean heavily upon.
Yes,
when situations come against me. But in this, he says that I have come that we might have more abundantly.
Yes.
And I want you to know that any time that you're not walking in that more abundance, all you got to do is just stop and say, Father, help me. That's all it is. That's all he wants. He wants submission.
Hallelujah.
And then after submission comes obedience. You've got to hear what the Spirit says. And if you don't hear that soft voice speaking deep down within you, then you get into the Word. The Word will direct you in everyday life. And that's what's so wonderful to me about this Word. I can be loaded down, but yet I can turn and hear the Spirit of the Lord. And it's all dumped off. And that's what, to me, these meetings, and not just the meetings, but just every time the body of Christ gets together, you know, it's a little bit more ground that we're gaining.
Yeah.
You know, and the ground, it speaks of being Spirit. We're gaining a little bit more Spirit. We're walking in a little bit more and a little bit more. That's what it's all about, walking in a little bit more and a little bit more. And he talks about the devil here. He's talking about pastors, but yet he says he's talking about the devil because he says a thief. And there's three things there. He categorizes him, you know. He says he come to steal and to kill and destroy. So the Word says that we're not ignorant to His devices.
That's
right. So that's what I want to get across tonight, is we're not ignorant to the influences that He has in our lives. And we can speak into every situation. To me, God is in everything. Everything. Even if we look at it and it say, well, you know, that's a horrible, horrible situation, just like with the things that's happened in the recent weeks. You know, but God is in all of that. He is in control of everything. And Bob had said it here a while back, first the natural, then the spiritual. And when all that happened, you know, there's come a fear and stuff over people, but, you know, spirit-filled people are not fearful.
That's right.
I am not fearful. When all that happened, I said, my goodness, I know there's fixing to become a releasing of the Spirit. That's what I see, you know.
Right.
There's coming a releasing of the Spirit within me, within all of us. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that was within me to rise up and speak into situations.
All right.
Change situations. That's what it's all about to me, is moving by the Spirit. The Word says it's not by might, not by my power, but by my Spirit. And that's the only way it's going to be. And a lot of the church world come in and they hear a good word, but they don't do anything about it. Monday morning is still coming. You know, and you come out there and you... I used to have this where I had flat tires all the time. And I used to get so upset about that. And then, but the Lord gets into everything. And He said, you know, you're going to change your situation, okay? It's not going to be somebody else. You're going to have to change your situation. You're going to have to change it. And He was talking about just a minute ago about the getting in that Spirit, getting in that river, watching the mountain go on by.
Amen.
You know, He's not moving it. You know, that's what we pray. We're always selfish in our prayers. You know, Lord, please remove this. Please do this. Please do that. You know, we sound like a bunch of beggars. You know, when we're Spirit-filled people, we got to stand up and stay under the pressure. Let the pressure have its good work. That's what the Word says. You know what the Word says when Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy your joy that He has given you. He cannot do it if you know the Word. And that to me, is what's needed in this time.
Amen.
Is to know that we are not ignorant to Satan's devices in anything. And we are to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. That is the only way that we're going to come into this. That is the only way that you're going to mature and be able to speak into situations and change your life and people's lives around about you. That's the only way. And I just praise Him. That's what it's all about. It's the Spirit. That's it. Short, sweet, simple, to the point. So, I'm released.
Okay, Bob.
Amen.
No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I didn't bring my preaching Bible today. No, I'm just kidding. I asked Brother, when I walked in the door, Brother McCurry and Andrew was standing there, and he said, we're going to let the elders say something tonight and preach a little bit. I said, what is this, a Halloween joke? I didn't know what he was going to. But you get used to that, you know. I told him in the elders meeting, I said, when he's not here, the elders just flow. Everything just... But we know that He's sitting behind us, you know. Amen. But I thank Him. You know, it's nothing like Father ministry now.
Amen.
You know Father ministry. Have many teachers, but few fathers. And that's what this is. That's where this assembly sits. I thank God for Him. Amen. We're glad that you're able to come in and sit under the Father ministry. This church just don't stay right here in this four walls. It goes around the world.
Amen.
And I thank Him for it, you know.
That's right.
There's one thing I've been sort of looking at this whole meeting here. It's the Christ in you that is the hope of glory.
Amen.
There's more Christ sitting right here. There's enough Christ in this building tonight to change anything on the face of this earth or in the heaven realm. Amen. And I thank Him for it.
Amen.
I praise the Lord for it.
Amen.
But it's God life. It's God life. I'm desire. All I want anymore is walk in the God life. Right? A lot of people come in just for the blessings. All they want is just, let's get blessed. Let's all get blessed and go on about our business. That's not it, honey. I don't care what God does next week, but I pray that He'll bring us all to the God life.
Amen.
And that this Christ in some way will be pressed.
Amen.
Pressed in, activated. Everywhere the Lord went, God, He was pressed against. Amen.
Amen.
Stopped in the middle of the road. As Brother McCurry said today, if you can stop Him, you get what you want.
Amen.
It's a shame. It's a shame that the church world, minus not even counting the other part, the Gentiles, can I say that? No, for lack of word. But if they just knew who you were Monday morning,
That's right?
When you leave this thing, if they just knew that the Christ was in you, and if they press on it, that's what ministering is about, is you press on it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got pressed hard coming through the door. And then I said, oh, my God, I ain't even, you know what. But let me shut up, and can I read just a little bit? He said we could have 10 minutes, didn't he? Something like that. Turn over here to 2 Timothy, because, you know, this is, I believe, is real where we're at tonight, because there's been some ordained ministers here this time. Great services.
Amen.
But you know, we're not at a place, and you're not at a place where you can just go do whatever you think. Right? Whatever you think God wants out of you.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We have to know.
Amen.
Have to wait upon Him. It's all in the God life. Amen. The church world, that's where it's gone, is in the problems now, is trying to get out here and do what they think God wants them to do. Amen? But listen to this. Here's Paul in prison for the last time, I believe it is. For the last time, he has no reason to sit and lie about anything. You know? Or to do anything but tell Timothy, right? The truth.
Amen.
Of where he sits. Listen to this. In 2 Timothy 2:1 says, thou therefore, my son, I thank God that there's a ministry that can reproduce itself.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That father ministry reproduce itself. And we are at a place is that we have to go right out here and reproduce this same thing.
Yeah.
Amen. But listen to it. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Well, he's not saying just a little unmerited favor.
Amen.
Amen. Church world living off of just a little bit of unmerited favor of God. But he's talking about be strong in the God life.
That's it.
It's the God life that he said to be strong in.
That's right.
Brother.
Amen.
And it ain't all joy. All the things you run across, the elders here in this body, sometimes we get out here after Wednesday night of eating the spiritual meat and just want to crawl up under one of these cars out here of how God just deals with you. Amen. But listen to this. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He didn't say Jesus Christ.
No.
Right? What you've been hearing is a spiritual aspect of the kingdom.
Right.
That's the reason you can eat it. It's the Christ in the teacher that's registering with the Christ in you,
amen,
which is the hope of glory.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And the things that thou hast heard of me, right? Well, what Timothy heard wasn't all good. Paul been striped on his back in prison. He was in prison when he wrote this, right? So God wants a God life, but he wants to see
it developed in the right way.
Amen.
Not just a shout and a dance and thank you, Lord. You know what I'm saying? He's looking for somebody that can endure something. That can take the Christ out here where it belongs, is out here going to and fro.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. They pray. I got to hurry here because I don't want him to stick a prod me up here or something. But anyhow, listen to this. Let me try to get on here. He shouldn't have said what he said coming in the door here. But anyhow, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men.
Amen.
He didn't say just go tell it to him. He said to commit it to him.
Right.
And that's what happened here this meeting, is there was something committed. It's committed in Joe, committed in the ones that was ordained here.
Right.
It wasn't just, oh, you have now a legal right to go out here and just open up a church.
Right.
Are you following me? This word, this God life has been committed to you.
Amen.
I thank him for it. I praise God for it. He says, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Right? I'm just going to go on from there, but that's what this is all about. It's reproducing what we have. What we have in here is the Christ, the hope of glory. Amen? I thank God that things we thought years ago, if God would just bless us with finance and God would bless us to the place that we could take this state for God. We could take these counties for God around here. But I'm finding out we were dead wrong.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It ain't in that, brother. It's whether you can endure.
Yeah.
Those that endure to the end.
Yeah.
Amen. To the teleos, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
That's the message that you need to be going out of here with, is take it home, and when somebody presses on that Christ,
yeah.
Because we don't have a ministry.
No.
Amen? Christ has the ministry. We just get to share in it.
Right.
Amen? And when this Christ is pressed upon,
amen.
I don't know how I'm going to make it. Amen.
Right.
People come up, I don't know how I'm going to make it. What about all this in New York? What about all these things? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I serve a God that says we're going to make it. And I declare unto you, you're going to make it. Because it's going to take some fortitude in this last days to see this come about. Can I take 5 more minutes, you see?
That's all right.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. I just got to get this out. I told him he shouldn't have said what he did. No man that warreth. We know. See, we know that our warfare is over.
Yeah.
We've been taught our warfare is over. But God's got something that he wants to work out through you.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. No man warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life. Oh, my God, have we ever mixed it up? How many times have we come in waiting for the prophet of God just to bless you with Cadillacs, and you think that you're in the kingdom of God? And next thing you know, you go out and buy one, and everything's fine until the first payment comes in. And then you're hunting for the prophet again, trying to figure out how you're going to make these payments. Because you entangle this God life in with the physical. With the fleshlight. Amen? Praise God. But anyhow, listen to this. No man worth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, what? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I'm going to tell you, the day of pleasing man is over. We heard today, we heard this week, that listen, the prophets may not prophesy just all good things to you anymore. He may just come up and the Christ thing to just tell you like it is. You know, I think we'd have got along, the church had been further down the road today if the prophet of God just tell it like it is. Amen. Well, anyhow. If a man strive also for masteries, Yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. There's some training going on.
Amen.
I'm telling you, and the training this God life brings you to is not, oh, can I pass this test? It's not anything a passing test. It's coming to die out to yourself. Allow this Christ to come out. Allow this Christ man to rise up, he was talking about.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Just a couple more and I'm going to shut up. The husband that labors must be first partakers of the fruits. Amen? We have to be partakers of the fruits. Right? The fruit of the Spirit. The God life's the only way you're ever going to get 100% joy. There's no more joy in this world here. Get out, get away from it, get on with it. Well, all the joy is in this Spirit life. It's in this God. That's where you go down the street skipping. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Consider what I said, he said. Consider what I say. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things.
Hallelujah.
I believe that we need understanding in all things.
Amen.
But we can't be blind to what it's going to take out here. He said, if you do this, consider what I say, Timothy.
Glory to God.
You're right. Consider what I say, and you'll have understanding in all these things. Here's a man sitting in a prison. Right? See, it's not the fact is that Brother McCurry, when we sat around here on Wednesday nights, and you've heard him today, and I'm not trying to blow his flesh out of here, but you know what keeps you coming back? You know what keeps you coming back? Keeps us coming every week here? Because I'm going to tell you, where we sit is a hard place, brother. I've seen seasoned ministry come in here and tremble to have to preach with him sitting in the house.
Hallelujah.
And they said, oh, what do you do? I said, well, you just grin and bear it and come on here. You know what I mean? But it's the fact is that he's been somewhere, honey.
Amen.
He's fought the warfare. He knows what it is to sleep in a haystack and have to pray something down. Right?
Amen.
It's not all glory and whatever. It's the fact is. And that's what the reason that we keep coming back. Because I see the hope. There's hope in this thing.
Amen.
Amen. Don't go out of here this week and get discouraged when the enemy appears up to you. And I'll tell you, he'll show up on you. Don't you think he won't show up on you this week? Because we've been sitting in here shouting and praising God, and he's going to come to see what you're made of.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And God may send him to see what you're made of.
Hallelujah.
He did Job. Has thou considered my servant Job? Right. Has thou considered my servant Tarleton? Has thou considered my servant Brandon? I'm going to tell you, because he's going to prove what we got in here. It's going to come out sooner or later. It's time to get separated from the men and the boys. Amen. But I shut up. But this gives you understanding. If you can understand how the Lord, how his ways are, all
right?
They saw the miracles. We see God's ways. Amen. Church world just wants to see what God can produce. We're looking after what the ways of God. That's what I want. That's the only thing that's going to get you out when you're in the valley of weeping. Okay, I'm going to get out of here. I just want to read three more. Now listen. And I promise I'll... Listen to this. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Amen. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you tonight, what we've seen here today, the word of God is not bound.
Amen.
There has been word spoken here that's going to be years down the road showing up on the enemy. I thank God for it, but it's not bound, and I praise God. But in the past, we've bound him up because we thought that everything had to turn up rosy. I'm glad it turns up like it does, that we can, that the Christ man has to come out. I challenge you the next time that someone comes up and wants something from the Christ, you'll probably be as low as you can get. That's where it goes. Not because you've been to a great meeting. It's because God, I am weak, but He is strong. That's what Apostle Paul said. He said, I tried three times to get all this stuff off of me. See, we try more to try to get off, Brother Tarleton, than we try to get in on what's going on. Amen. I just thank Him for it. When I am weak, He is strong. Listen, if you don't learn anything else, walk out of here. The life that you now live, you live by the faith of the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
Period. Anything other than that, then you'll have to come back next year and start all over the next meeting. But it's time that the ones that live in Zion never can make some that can be there. You know what I'm saying? Get in on it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I shut up, Brother McCurry. I just thank Him. Praise the Lord. I love you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pastor James.
Yeah, James. Come on here.
Can I say something quickly before James comes up?
Okay, while he's coming, Missionary Tim.
Hallelujah. The Lord is saying something to us tonight.
You missed the mic.
Oh. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I'm glad you caught that, Jack. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Then I got all excited. Hallelujah. From what Bob is saying, the Lord is really speaking to us. I pray the Holy Spirit really touch our ears tonight, what He is saying. I just began to say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, I understand. I believe that the Lord is speaking to us that we don't need to be full anymore. We don't need to be, you know, feasting and feasting and feasting. It is time for us to be broken and empty. No longer do we need to be full and seek to be full. It is at that point when we are empty, broken, lifeless. It is at that very point that the kingdom of God's His rulership becomes seen. It's at that very point that we empty ourselves to the point of, God, I just don't know what to do. You know, it's at that point where you can do nothing else. It is at that point that the kingdom of God can be established in this earth and in the people that you will touch. And that's the only way that it's going to happen. It's not in a place where you feel so comfortable. It's not in that place where you feel so loved, where you still feel so happy and so contented. That's not the place of the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is where you have to be completely empty. Jesus Christ emptied Himself. And it was at that point when we began to see, oh, the King is here. That Jesus, when His disciples, after a couple verses, and then James, you can hook it up. Matthew chapter 14, I'm reading from the Amplified, so I don't know. This might feed back or not. I just don't know. It's a very simple scripture. It's right before He's feeding the 5,000. Listen to the words of Jesus. Actually, listen to the words of the Christ.
Amen.
Amen? Listen to the words of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 15. When evening had came, now you have to remember the verse before, it says the people came to Him. He went away to try to find a place to get away, right? Try to find a place to rest and relax. But, you know, the crowds followed Him. I mean, you know the deal. This is the Christ. This is the Son of God on earth, right? You know, He can't find a hotel room to get away from anything. So the crowds followed Him, and they're on Him. And the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on them. And He healed them, and He taught them, and He healed the sick. Okay, and the Bible says in the next verse, when evening came, the disciples, listen to this now, the disciples came to Him and said, this is a remote and barren place. Okay, this is a barren place. This is a dry place. How many have ever been in a dry place before? How many? I mean, a place where there's no food, there's no water, there's nothing. You've kind of felt like you've been in that situation. Well, you just felt like your prayers have fallen off your lips, and you know the heavens are as brass, as it were. You know, and God doesn't hear you. Have you ever been in that situation? I pray and I read the Bible, but every time I get into the second verse, I'm like, you know, you're asleep. You try to read the Bible and you fall asleep. And it's just dry. It's dry. Listen to the words of Christ. These guys said, it's a dry place. Send the people away. Send them away so that they can get something to eat. And Jesus Christ says this. They do not need to go away. Because I'm going to give them something to eat. No. They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Do you hear what the Lord is saying? Do you hear what the Lord is saying? Is this exactly what Bob is saying? What Lamar is saying? It is the Christ that you need to tap into when you're in a barren place. It's not when you're all happy, when everything is going well, when you're riding the clouds of glory, as it were. It's not at that point. You need to tap into the anointing of God. And that is when there's going to be ministry. That's when there's going to be the kingdom of God in your life. It is the only time. If you're empty, that's when you need to minister to somebody. If you are lifeless and you just don't feel like ministering, you just don't feel like God is there, I just don't feel like it, look around and tap into the Christ, because that's where He'll be. It will be so alive and so real, because there won't be any flesh there. Everything will be dead. Everything will be raw and lifeless and empty and barren. Why? Because you don't have anything to do with it. Send the crowds away, because I'm satisfied now, Jesus. I've heard your words. I've seen you heal the sick. Send them away. It's a barren place. Oh, thank you, God. It was a wonderful message. Thank you, Jesus. Send them away now, and let's get something to eat. Let them get something to eat for themselves. No. This is a hard word for us. Because it's so easy to be satisfied where we are. It's so easy to be comfortable in the Spirit of God. It's so very easy to be in the stronghold. Do you remember the three mighty men when they were in the cave of Adullam? And David was in the stronghold. And he looked out at Bethlehem where the Philistines were. You know, where the army of the Philistines, they were fortified. They had fortified Bethlehem, David's hometown. They fortified it. And David was in the stronghold, where his own stronghold, and he looked out at Bethlehem, and he said, oh, it would be so good to get a drink of water from that well of Bethlehem. Man, I remember back when I was young, I loved that water. It was just so crystal clear. It was so nice. And David's three men were in the stronghold, fortified, safe, comfortable with their king.
Yes.
With their ruler in the place, in the presence of the master, as it were. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And what did these three guys do? The Bible says that they broke out. They pressed through and went through the garrison of the Philistines. They went through the enemy. Can you imagine these three guys fighting through the army of the Philistines, through their stronghold, into their garrison, just to get a cup of water, to carry the water, the Spirit of God, to carry the water. What does the water represent in the Bible? The Spirit. Are they willing to break through? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone in the Spirit? Are you willing to get out of what you think, oh, it's a good word, hallelujah, we've had a wonderful convention, the Feast of Passover is awesome, hallelujah. Well, I'm with Jesus. I'm with the Christ. I'm with the Christ.
Right.
But that's not what He's wanting. He's wanting you to carry the Spirit of God. He's wanting you to break through the enemy stronghold and carry the Word of God and present it to the King. And they broke through. They didn't care about themselves. They didn't care about their comfort zone or what they were, who they were with even. But they were with their Master. They broke through and they wanted to please Him. Are you willing to please Him even in the midst of your barrenness, even in the midst of your comfort? Are you willing to do that? God is calling us to do that. He's calling us to break out of our emptiness. and to recognize that it is at that time when you feel the worst, the crappiest, the most unusual, unimportant time. It is at that time that the kingdom of God is the most clear to you. It is the most precious to you if we can tap in.
Amen.
Oh God, if we can tap in. And if we can carry the Spirit, if we can carry the Word of God, carry the presence of God, like those three men carried the water for the king. And they were fighting while they were doing that. But they had the job of bringing it to the king. Hallelujah. If we're willing to bring it to him, to carry the water, to be carriers of his presence, carriers of the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us. Are we willing to carry it in our in the midst of our barren times, broken times, to feed the people? Are we willing to do that? And if we are, if we truly are, then we'll be. Then the Spirit will carry us. The Holy Spirit will carry us.
Amen.
You want an example of that? Peter walking on the water. What is the water in the Bible?
Spirit.
The Spirit will carry you if you are willing. Jesus, if that's you, I want to come out there where you are. Jesus said, come. He goes out, and what does he do? What happens? The Spirit of God carries him. The Spirit
Amen.
Is carrying him now.
Amen.
And even if you fall, you say the quickest prayer in the world, the quickest prayer in the Bible, Lord, help me. You say it. You say, Lord, help me. And you don't have to say it all, you know, Lord, Father, God, help me look down upon thy servant. Because you're in the midst of a dry time. You're in the midst of a barren time. You're jumping out. You're throwing yourself out upon the Spirit of God. Everything that you are, you're emptying yourself. Throwing your understanding right out the window and saying, okay, I don't know what's going on, but I love you, Jesus, and I know that you are real to me. I know that you can be real to me. You are who you say you are to me. And I'm going to prove it. And you jump out on the Spirit of God. And He holds you. He holds you up.
Yeah.
And even when you fall, you say those three words. Like Lamar said, Lord, help me. And you don't have to say it flowery. You know, you just say, Lord, help me. And the Bible says that He stretched out His hand and saved him. He said, go, gadget arms. And saved him. And He will save us if we will do that. Are we willing to do that in the midst of our fear, the midst of our brokenness, the midst of our craziness, emptiness? The Spirit of God is right there in our face. It's there. Don't look and say, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. This is the worst time of my life. You don't know what I'm going through. If you just knew what I was going through. If that's the attitude, then we're feeding our flesh. But if we could just understand it in that barren place, in that emptiness, in the midst of the worst problems that we are having, the kingdom of God is at its closest. And His water, the Spirit of God, is most refreshing at that time. He's calling us to be carriers. And He's calling us to carry it and pour ourselves out to other people. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, glory to God.
I tell you, it's kind of hard to follow those guys. But I tell you, this meeting's been something else.
Right.
It's been really something else. And I was standing, I don't remember if it was the other afternoon at the ordination or last night, I don't remember exactly when, but God spoke to him and He said, there's a new day dawning. There's a new day dawning. No longer are we going to be allowed to be moved by what we see. No longer are we going to be allowed to be moved by what we think or moved by what we feel.
Amen.
It's only by the Spirit of God that we're going to be allowed to move. God is raising up a people. And Obadiah, it says saviors will come. You're not going to be a savior if you're not in the Spirit.
I can do nothing. You can do nothing. Even Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing.
True.
Now, if he was the pattern, what makes us think we can do anything?
Right. Amen.
He said he could do nothing. We've got to learn that we are nothing, that we are dead, that our life is hidden in him.
Amen.
And that Spirit of God has got to come forth.
Yes.
Nothing we can do. I've been reading over here in Hebrews 4, and in this chapter it talks about entering into rest. And starting verse 8, it says, For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? See, there's another day. There's this day now. This last time, this hour that we're living in, is the day that we can enter into that rest.
Amen.
And he says down here, There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God.
Amen.
That's not just having everything go your way and feeling good.
Right.
The rest of God is being in the middle of hell and walking in peace.
Right.
Bob talked about endurance. He talked about not entangling yourself with the affairs of the world to be a good soldier. You can't go your own way.
Right.
Jesus said, Not my will, but thine be done.
Right.
We can no longer do what we want to do.
Amen.
He says, There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. What is he saying? It's time for James to quit doing his own thing.
Amen.
It's time for us as kingdom people, as spirit-filled kingdom people, to start walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
We got to learn to hear what he's saying.
Right.
We got to learn to know what the difference is and what my opinion is and what the Spirit is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Sometimes I feel so good about what I think in my opinion that I think it's from the Spirit of God because I'm ruled by what I feel.
Amen.
See, sometimes we can get these things in our mind that just make us feel so good, but see, that feeling's not always the Spirit of God.
True.
Cease from his own works as God did from his. It says cease from works, but then it says let us labor. Almost sounds like the opposite, doesn't it? But see, there's a difference. He says, cease from your own works, from what you're doing, what you're thinking, from what you've become accustomed to, from what your tradition has told you.
Right.
Let me tell you something.
Amen.
This man right here is father ministry.
Right.
He's been my father since 1975 in the Spirit. We're from totally different ends of the spectrum. He's from the hills of North Carolina. I'm from the coastal plains of Georgia. We have different personalities.
Right.
I know I rub him the wrong way a lot of times, and he rubs me the wrong way. But see, it doesn't matter. There is a bond.
Amen.
There is a bond in the Spirit that goes beyond my personality or his personality or anybody's personality. There's a bond in the Spirit that we have to move into and operate in and go beyond anything in this world. And it takes labor sometimes to do that. Paul said, I have not yet arrived, but I press towards the mark. See, that's what this labor is. There was a standard set 2,000 years ago. Jesus is the standard. That's the mark. We got to press towards that mark. What did he do? He operated only in the Spirit. He said, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear him say.
Amen.
How many times do I need just to keep my mouth shut and wait for God to speak before I say anything?
Hallelujah.
You know, so many times, and my wife will tell you, I'm very opinionated sometimes, and I get in a lot of trouble with her because of that. But sometimes I've got to learn, all the time, I've got to learn that my opinion does not matter.
Amen.
What I think doesn't matter.
I've got to labor and press to enter. Labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You read back up in that chapter, what is it talking about? The children of Israel couldn't enter in because of what? They didn't believe. Because of unbelief. And we have to be very careful because our thoughts and our feelings and our want-tos can cause us to move into unbelief. If we allow those things to rule us, and they will try. I remembered I was riding this week and I thought of a sermon he preached either in 75 or 76 right after I got up here. It talked about don't be ruled by the tyranny of your soul. What's the soul made up of? It's made up of your mind, your emotions, and your will. It's made up of what I think or you think, how you feel, and what you want to do. And see, we've got to separate that out. We've got to come to this separation, separate that out. And what does it say in this next verse? It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit. First of all, the word of God is quick. First thing you think of, well, does it run around real fast? No. It's life. Powerful. What does that mean? That means there's not anything in this world that you can't conquer, that you can't overcome. That's how we overcome. It says you overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. What word are you speaking? What testimony do you have? That's how we overcome. That's what the power is.
Yeah.
It's not just saying these words, but it's speaking the correct word, the truth, the word of God. That's what's powerful. And it says sharper. Sharper. Able to divide asunder both soul and spirit. We've got to come to a place where we can recognize what our soul is saying, and what our spirit is saying, be able to separate it out and move by the Spirit.
Amen.
Too long I have been ruled by what I think and what I feel and what I want to do.
Hallelujah.
Now we've got to move further. We've got to move to a higher level. We've got to move into this new day and be moved only by the Spirit. What else does it say in this verse? It says, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. A judge or a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Motivation, you got to be careful about the motivation. How many times have we heard Brother McCurry say, don't just listen to what somebody says, listen to what's being said behind what they're saying. Behind the word. You can't just look. You can believe anything you hear. I've read a lot of books, or a few books anyway, but most of these self-help books, the one thing they tell you is that your mind believes anything you tell it. Your mind will believe anything you tell it. So you got to be able to learn to look beyond what you hear. Look beyond what you see. See what's going on behind the scenes. And then it says, verse 13, and I'll finish with this. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This Christ that's within us can cause you to see everything that's going on. What did the prophet tell his servant? He said, oh my God, they've surrounded us. They got the city surrounded. He said, God, open up his eyes. And what did he see? The host of the army of God surrounding the enemy.
Yeah.
This Christ that's within us is more than capable, more than able to do anything that has to be done. He's more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors. And we can see behind the scenes. We can see what's going on. We can hear from God. And we can do what he's talking about here. We can separate out soul and spirit and move into that spiritual walk. This new day that we're in, you're not going to make it if you're not walking by the Spirit. If you're not moving by the Spirit, you're going to have a problem.
That's great.
I'm always real, I guess I use the word concerned, when we have such good meetings, I guess, is that we forget, we had already mentioned that Monday's coming up. You know, we'll go back to where we came from. We'll stay here. No, and it's no harder, no easier. If you know where you've been set, dig in. You know, that's where it is. Let me just, I just want to tell you, if we've got to think like God, or else the principles we've heard, this is just part of life. This isn't some spectacular meeting. We're going to, you know what I mean? Things have been set in motion. You've learned principles. But you've got to function where you've been set. And you can't be jealous of where anybody else is set. And I tell you, there are people that are jealous of where we're set. And let me tell you, it's not any easier than where you're set. And if God's foreordained you to where you are, it can't be any different than where you're set. Okay? Let me look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In Corinthians, he says, you have the mind of Christ. Okay? This mind, it can be tyranny sometimes, but God is in the process of changing it. He's not trying to destroy your mind. He's trying to be sure that you function with the right information in your mind.
Amen.
And the only way you're going to get that information is you're going to have to see unseen realm.
That's it. That's good.
It's possible. Just because we haven't practiced very much at it, don't worry about that. Okay? It's where you were created. You weren't created to only assess what comes in with the physical sense. We just haven't had enough practice. Okay. I'm sorry, man. I'm going to rush through just to get to the part, the action that I see that God is doing. Okay? We could spend a lot of time on this, but I want to get to you. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Keep this all in your mind and you're thinking. I'm rushing through this because Bob borrowed some of my time here. But anyway, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, greatest air conditioning, and we're among good fellowship, and we can say that. But come Monday morning, are you going to walk in that all things are new? Okay, it's still true. And all things are of God. Woo! Who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and this is what I want to look at with you, not imputing their trespasses unto them. This is the way God thinks. I'm not imputing. This is happening in a millisecond, okay? He's not in days looking at our failure. I'm not imputing the trespasses. That's been taken care of. So that same word imputing here is this word that's used in Romans 6. If you've had water baptism, to reckon yourself, therefore, dead unto sin. That's the same word. God does the same process. Based on what I've done, I don't need to waste any time on... I'm not wasting any time on your failure. I'm ready to concentrate on you walking in God's life. He doesn't waste any time. He's taken an inventory of what he's done, and he's moving to the current moment, which is now what we're going. Not what you did. Where are we going right now? But it's the same process that we're called on in Romans 6 to do, to consider the old man dead. He does the same process. I'm just because I gave the sacrifice. I'm just. I'm perfectly just to go on with you, Greg, after your failure. I'm worried about that. Let's move on. Okay? Just looking at Romans 6.
Hallelujah.
Go beyond and put it into the now what you've heard the last few days. And what you will hear now, not just what you've heard. Likewise, verse 11, Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Okay, we're not spending a bunch of time on it. You're going to have to consider it. When you look in the mirror and you see what you know you are by the observable realm, you're going to have to consider yourself dead based on what he has said, not on what you see. But, and this is where we're living right now, but alive unto God. This is so going so far beyond if he's reconciling all things to himself, there's a lot in me that has yet to be experientially reconciled to him. But I'm not going to fret over what hasn't been reconciled yet. I'm going to reckon myself dead to sin, but alive unto God.
Hallelujah.
Now, just what are you alive to that he's foreordained you before the foundation of the world? If you can seriously consider what he said,
right,
you're not going to look at who you know you are.
That's right.
But see, you don't even know who you are. You think you do by what you're observing. That's the only way you're going to be able to take every nugget you've gleaned here back to where God has set you. How are you going to walk in order and support the leadership over you if you can't consider beyond what you see with the observable? How are you going to move into a destiny when it looks like you're just another? You know, it's just another natural life of frustrations like everybody else. It's not. But it's going to take reckoning. Much more beyond, I'm so glad my sins are forgiven, and I'm not making light of that. God, please don't misunderstand me. But I've been made alive unto God. And if I'm alive to him, I need to know what he's doing now, where he set me. In the desert he set me, in the flourishing place, whatever, it may change tomorrow. And that's okay. But take it back and learn how to reckon yourself alive to him, right where he set you, or else these principles of the kingdom are going to be for somebody else.
Right.
That will reckon themselves.
Amen.
That will take an inventory and then let the action come from what you see the inventory says. Okay.
Good word, brother.
Amen.
Now, y'all are a little bit fortunate because I think I danced some of mine out tonight. I'll just hold it. Can't figure out how to use these things, you know. I don't plan on being up here that long, but, you know, we don't never plan on some things. I didn't plan on what happened yesterday. I don't plan on what's going to happen tomorrow. But one thing I'm telling you is that tonight, I'm going to ask a question, and I'm not asking how many people speak in tongues. That's not the question. The question I'm asking is, how many people have the Spirit of the Lord living in them?
Oh, glory.
If you got the Spirit of the Lord in you, I want to see your hand. That's it. That's the whole ball of wax. That's what brings it all together. That's what's been being talked about. This whole meeting. I don't know how many people I've heard that have been in the same prison that I was in for so many years that have been taken out because of the Holy Ghost hacksaw. And if anybody don't know what a hacksaw is, it cuts steel, it cuts chains, it cuts bars, whatever's needed. And we've all come from that. I talked to some brothers today and yesterday, said, I am totally amazed listening to these stories I hear in the background of how we were locked up, how it even come down to building bricks without straw. I don't know how many, everybody, the Lord was speaking the other night, And I saw this highway, and I was concerned about this highway, Lord. And the Lord spoke back to me and said, don't be concerned about it. The lights that will guide you on that highway will be my illumination by my Spirit. That will illumine up that highway so you can ride down it. So you can go down that highway. And I have one thing to read, and then I'm going to sit down. Because it's finished, brethren. We're going to come out of prison. So don't put yourself back there. I hear the Spirit saying, well, I want to do that. I want to do that. What's holding you back? My Word says here in Romans, the 8th chapter. You don't have to turn to it because I'm going to read one scripture. You want to turn to it, make sure I'm speaking what's in there. Turn to it. Romans, the 8th chapter. And the 11th verse says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, the same way, quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That means that liveth in you, that's made His abode, has made His home, and you can't get rid of Him. He's not leaving the house. He's not leaving the temple. Amen. A temple not made with man's hands. You did not have anything to do with it. I don't care if your belt buckle is 40 or 30 or 29. You have nothing to do with the temple that God's talking about. Except putting your hands up and saying, come sweet Jesus, here I am. Teach me how to carry this cup that our brother talked about. Teach me how to carry this cup. So that we can be what you want us to be to each and every one. Amen. It's done. It's finished. He's living in you, brethren. Every one of you admitted it. Every one of you raised up your hand and said, tonight the Spirit of God is in you. And it's like Brother Tarleton said that one time. I said, Lord, why aren't I doing that? And he told him, because you're not. I'll never forget that as long as I live, because I'm not. Okay? It's up to us, brethren.
Amen.
Behold, what stands before us is an open door.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
He said there in the Scripture, behold, I stand in the door and knock. The door has been opened.
All right.
The Spirit has opened the door to each and every one of us. I love y'all.
Great.
I am completely overwhelmed this week.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I'm thoroughly convinced that this is the way, and I'm walking in it.
Amen.
I ain't waiting to walk in it. I am walking in it.
Amen.
And as was said this week, I'm more determined to go hunt me up some Sambolics and Tobijas, wherever they are, and break every tradition and every doctrine I can find that's pulling down the walls of salvation.
Hallelujah.
Because we've got to be determined that we know what's in us, that even in the book of Ephesians, we're blessed with all heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. But we have to realize that there's no place else to go but to let Him come out. The mystery is within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The thing is, the church world is built up all these walls and all these traditions and all these doctrines, and they look like that we ain't going no place. But I'm here to tell you, we've been hid throughout the ages, and God's getting ready to reveal us.
Absolutely.
The mystery that has been hid is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We've talked about the Christ. But now, when we leave this place, we've been in the unction of the Holy Ghost. But now it's up to us, wherever we go, and whatever situation we're in, we have to release the salvation that's within us. And it's going to cost us something.
Amen.
Now, when you go against Tobijah and Sambalek, they've got strongholds.
Yeah.
They've taken over the money of the church.
Yeah.
They've taken over the structure of the church.
Yeah.
And it looks like they don't want nothing to do with any kind of anointing. Now, what you going to do with the Christ in you? Say, well, I'm just going to wait on the Lord.
And He's waiting on you.
And He's waiting on you to step forth
Amen.
And release the Christ in you.
Yeah.
Well, they may fire me. I won't have a job. But didn't Christ give his all? And move into the Adam nature? And put on the drag of this flesh? Once he left the splendor of heaven, he knew what it was to be in unity with his Father and have the glory of God all around him. And his Father asked him, will you go? And had to take on this Adam nature and put up what we had to put up with and was willing to die to the flesh. Now, are we going to be willing to let go of what we have and to have the nature of Christ come out of us at all costs?
Amen.
He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I believe we've come to the place that now it's up to us to release the Christ within us. Now, I'm finding it everywhere I go that the opportunities are opening up more and more. I'm not looking for a church building. I'm not looking to build anything. There's been enough of folks to do that. Well, I feel the Lord wants me to do that. I feel in just having a relationship with an unseen presence with Christ, walking side by side with Him, and as I feel the tugging of that Spirit, just move.
Amen.
And that's exactly what the book of Ephesians says. Paul, what if I was to say this and I'm not boasted in this, Brother G.C. McCurry, apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, had come and blessed us, the saints, with all heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. I'd be right to say that. You don't realize how blessed we are that God has positioned us under apostolic ministry. And it's not that church's fault where they're at. It's where God placed them. And it's been said every one of us has been under different structure. But we had enough of sense to see the light and run for our lives. Some of them still like that stuff. Well, go ahead, like it. I don't. I'm out. I'm going with Christ.
Amen.
Nothing is going to change my heart for what He's done in my life.
Amen.
And wherever He's at, I'm going. I've made that up a long time ago.
Amen.
Sometimes I don't like what He does, but I love Him enough to go with Him.
Amen.
And where He leads me, I'm going to follow. Because He started this, and I sure don't know where it's going to end. So if He don't take us, and He don't lead us, and the Spirit don't bring us, we don't know the way. But I thank God we've come to the end of ourselves, that the Christ in us is being revealed now. Now is the day. Let me show you one thing. I got that thought in Colossians real quick. It lines up to what Brother G.C. said about this is the set time. And Paul so beautifully brings it out in Colossians 1 and 27. Start with 26. Even the mystery which had been hid from the ages and from generations, in other words, not only from ages, but it's been kept from people, from different generations. God didn't want to give it to them. But now is made manifested to His saints. Saints are those that God has separated Himself and have given themselves over to Him. They're separated. You know, if you look at saints and you really get into that word, well, I just don't have time. Let's go to verse 27. To whom God, and God is a Spirit, would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. And that's what God's doing right now. He's maturing the saints and bringing us to a set time right now of perfection, which means we aren't in no baby church. This is a church for folks that want to grow up and walk in a full stature of full mature grown Christ man in the earth. I ain't interested in no kindergarten church. I've seen enough of them. I need to grow up in the ways of Christ, that when you walk and you face a Tobijah and you face a Sam Ballack, you won't fear Him because the man of Christ is within you.
Amen.
Amen.
Good word.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Said, praise the Lord.
Praise.
Doesn't matter that it's 9 o'clock. We heard we have to change our mindsets and our traditions. Amen.
Amen. Don't tell them they wouldn't know.
And I would be the first to. Someone's going to have to hook this up because I don't know how to do it. Because then I'll start doing this and what have you. And I would be in hopes that the Christ in us, in me, has something to say to the body of Christ tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, Brother McCurry had asked Fred or Lamar, what does this meeting mean to you? And that's a broad statement, because I'm sure that the Father is depositing some things into us this week that yet we cannot see what the Father has for us down the road. But the greatest thing that I'm after tonight, and I thank God that this was all unpre-planned so that I didn't have an opportunity to prepare, but so that I could lean heavily on the Father's Spirit. What God's after tonight, and I've heard James teach it and others have taught it, is a relationship to bring a body of Christ into the headship of Christ, to present the Father to this dying world. That's what God's after. That's what God wants to produce in the earth. And if tonight we go away, and the one thing I did say is, Jack, you need to stop being so serious. You need to just have a good time in God. And God is beginning to tear some things down in me. He's beginning to tear down the timidness in me. And I'm learning to relax in Him and understand that this thing was begun by Him and it will be finished by Him. Hallelujah. This is not of our own doing tonight. We are not here by choice. I was probably the greatest one this week saying, I do not want to go. I do not want to go. And my wife will bear that out. I have too many things that I have to do. And it's okay if I don't go. But the Spirit in me was saying, no, oh boy, it's not okay that you don't go. There's something that you have to hear. There's a work that has to be wrought within your heart. The Father is in control of every one of our lives. And don't think for a moment that God does not know where you're at or where you're living. The other thing that I heard was brought up is how you get around people who begin to complain and begin to murmur. I am not interested in where you're living. I'm interested in where He said we live. And we live in the heavenlies tonight. Hallelujah. Amen? We live in the heavenlies. And I'm reading out of Galatians, probably change 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Everybody say that. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live. Everybody say, now live. God is not interested in your concept of what's going to happen tomorrow. What He's interested is, are you living and manifesting the Christ in the earth right now? That's what God's after. If we've been crucified with Christ, then we are arisen with Christ, and we should be walking in newness and life tonight. What God's after is, our mindsets have got to change. Tim, tremendous word. We've got to empty ourselves out by the Spirit so that the Father can pour Himself in us, not only for us to be filled up, but to flow through us so that we can become a manifestation of God in the earth. Hallelujah. The greatest thing that He tells us in Philippians chapter 2, I know 10 minutes. Hallelujah. such a spirit of humility this past week in the relationships. My God. I just appreciate the body of Christ. You know, I've known some ministers who thank God Father Ministry is letting us know that personality is coming down. And if for some reason we turned off an elder or two tonight, we're missing the Father. Amen. We've got to learn to know Him after the Christ, not personality. If we're missing that, we're missing the whole ball of wax of what God's after. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. Amen? And what's it for? The work of the ministry. Whose ministry? His ministry. It's not our ministry. It's us functioning as a body in the earth and producing the ministry of Christ. That's what He's after. He's not interested in personality. He's interested in killing us. And the reason why He can't do anything is because we're so much very alive that we won't let God kill us and put us on the block. Amen? Let me show you what the Father is revealing to us in this hour. Hallelujah. He's revealing to us the pattern. The pattern to move into the holies of holies. There is no flesh going in there. No flesh is going to glory in the presence of the Father. Hallelujah. It's going to be spirit, and it's going to be spirit alone. Hallelujah. Philippians 2 tells us exactly the key, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. If I can find it. Hallelujah. And we know this, and we're going to jump around, but listen, let's let the Lord speak to us tonight, what He wants to tell us. Hallelujah. And we're going to start in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm sure we've studied that. We've looked it up. We know the definition on that. My God, you know, what is He telling us tonight? He's telling us to walk it out. We've heard it up here. We've received it. But what God's requiring tonight, Tim, is for us to walk it out. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of Himself of no reputation. God is not interested tonight in your reputation of who you are. Amen. But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. Kingdom, it's going to be by Spirit. That's right. As soon as we get out of the way, it's going to be by His Spirit. And we're going to have to come to that place, and only the Spirit can bring us, Joe. We can't bring ourselves there, but only the Spirit can bring us to that place of a complete emptiness so that the Father can flow through us. That's the Father's desire tonight. But He says, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled Himself. That's what the Father wants from His people tonight. A spirit of humility, a spirit of humbleness in the earth. I believe it's in Psalms. Who humbleth Himself to know the things which are in heaven? It's going to take an emptying out for the Father to pour out His kingdom and His Spirit through us. Amen. And God is requiring, I really believe, that the Lord is requiring more of us now in this hour than He's ever required of us. To whom much is given, much is required. Hallelujah. Wherefore, for this reason, what's He saying? Refer Him back to verse 8. Wherefore, because He humbled Himself, now He's given Him a name, which is above every name. And we've been taught name means nature. There's a nature, there's a transformation that's taken place in the hearts of God's people tonight, because they're not selling out. They're coming to an emptied state, hallelujah, and God is pouring Himself in them, hallelujah, and is going to manifest Himself and stand up in you like you've never known Him before, hallelujah. Hold on for the change that's coming, because God is in the driver's seat. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, glory to God. Amen.
Praise God.
Well, glory. How many of you understand what God is really doing in this hour? If you would look at the life of Christ, you can find out what He's doing. When Jesus was on this earth, He could only operate as 100% man of faith. He couldn't operate in deity. He was 100% man. Well, so are you and I. But along toward the end of His ministry, there was something happening, just like's happening right now.
Amen.
He was groaning within Himself. Oh, hallelujah. He was groaning within Himself. How can I get out of this flesh?
Hallelujah.
How can I get out of this flesh? And then He says in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, He said to the disciples, go into the city. I like that. I've told you that God is moving and bringing us from just a family into a city where there's many churches all flowing in the same spirit. So God sent them into the city right in the midst of all the traditional religion, because there was people from every nation coming in to this city to keep the Passover. And He sent these disciples into the city to prepare a place for the Passover. And He was groaning within Himself, how can I get out of this flesh? He knew what was going to happen. The disciples was at awe. They said, well, how do we know? How do we know? And Jesus said then, you'll see a man with a pitcher of water. Oh, glory to God. You'll catch it in a minute. Follow Him. In other words, men didn't carry water. It wasn't the order of the day. Women was the one that carried the water. But here was a man that was strong enough to break the tradition. Woo, hallelujah. And Jesus said, when you see a man with a pitcher of water, follow him. Oh, glory to God. If you're carrying the water, somebody follow you. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but where will an individual that's carrying the water lead me? They followed this man, and he took them to an upper room. Great God Almighty. Do you want to go into an upper room? Do you want to go into an upper room? Oh, glory. In the 13th chapter of the book of Joshua, And verse 1 is a very, very great scripture. Joshua confessing the wrong thing. He said, I am old.
Amen.
Don't ever tell God you're old, because he'll repeat it.
Glory. Hallelujah.
And Joshua said, I'm old.
Amen.
God said, you are old. Brother, God's going to tell you this is exactly what you tell.
Amen.
Lord, I'm young.
Amen.
I hear, whoo, you're getting younger.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Saints, wake up. The Bible said he will renew your youth as an eagle. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And then he said, God said there that you are old, but there's very much land yet to be possessed. In the Old Testament, land was a possession that God promised them. In the New Testament, it's spirit. And I'm telling you, there's very much spirit yet to be possessed. Hallelujah. Well, how am I going to possess it? You're going to have to follow the man with a pitcher of water. Glory to God. You got water, somebody will follow you.
Amen.
If you're dry, like Jim hit the keynote, if you're dry and barren, who wants to follow you? Well, listen, Jesus got in that upper room. They were having the Passover, and he was groaning. How can I break this flesh and get loose and release? Glory to God, the spirit that God has put within me. How can I release it? I've got to break loose from this flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Gideon, you know, was hiding, thrashing a little handful of wheat from the Midianites. Angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, oh, thy mighty man of valor. What in the world are you talking about? You're talking to somebody else, aren't you? I'm hiding here. Give just a handful of wheat to make some bread. You've got to be talking to somebody else. No, I'm a mighty man of valor. Now, he wasn't talking to Gideon. He's talking about the God that was hid in Gideon.
Hallelujah.
That had to break loose, that had to break out. Praise God.
Amen.
You've heard enough preaching.
That's all right.
But the Christ
is
wanting to break out of the flesh.
Amen.
Whew. I don't trust my flesh.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I said, I don't trust my flesh.
Glory.
My flesh is weak.
Amen.
But he's strong.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
If you're big enough to admit your flesh is weak, then God should say you're strong. But when you're weak, you're the strongest. Then. Oh, I don't know what these preachers mean when they're trying to build up thousands and thousands. Gideon had 32,000. God said, you got too many. 30,000 left him in one day. I'll tell you, we need another Gideon's revival. sending people away from the church rather than getting them in. Because the one that's in there don't believe nothing. Looking for a hot dog supper or ice cream supper or social event. Now if they feed you, they'll charge you. You have to pay them to feed you. Oh, glory to God. Raise your hand and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to have a spaghetti supper, but you got to pay $5 a head. Now you'd rather have a bologna sandwich. Oh, glory to God. All right. Got this number down. 10,200 or 12,000. Take them down to the water. Take them down to the brook. And we'll thin them out some down there. Woo, hallelujah. Everyone that lappeth water like a dog.
Yes, sir.
You've got to understand. God can learn you a whole lot if you would just study and watch His creation. Well, I can't explain all this, but let me just give you two examples. Well, one example. You ever saw a horse, and you ever examine a horse's head? Come on now. A horse's eyes is slanting. That horse can see behind him. What do you think a horse kick you for?
Huh?
Oh, God explains all of this in the Bible, but people ain't going to take time to dig it out. And I love what the 10th chapter of Zechariah says. Ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Then he goes on down and said, and you'll be my goodly horse in battle. Glory to God. Then he said, you're going to be like a goodly horse.